I'm Scott Hansen with NFL Red Zone, and you are listening to the Gridiron Gentlemen.
Hello and welcome to the Gridiron Gentlemen podcast. We're going to interrupt the draft coverage from the fabulous Josh and fabulous James, and we're going to talk about some team needs. To do this, we have Will. How you doing, Will?
All the better for getting to talk NFL football with you, fine gentlemen.
And we have a fabulous guest with us tonight. He is the Vikings International Fan of the Year. He has been here since the start. I think he was one of the first people I remember being in contact with regarding the podcast. Him, you and Tim. I'd say, yeah, it's John McDonald, Vikings International Fan of the Year. How are you doing, sir?
Very well, and I'm glad to be on this pod finally after over a decade of listening to you guys.
It is crazy. When you say you've been here from the start, like, genuinely, and I can't thank you enough, because, like, it was the reason we're still here is because people actually say, hey, I actually listen to you. And it's like, that's weird. I'm not sure why sometimes with some of my ramblings, like now, but it is very much appreciated, John. So just tell us a bit about yourself, how you became a Vikings fan, or just a bit about yourself in general.
How I became a Vikings fan is quite a funny story, actually. I was watching the NFC Championship game between the Vikings and Saints in 2009.
Yeah. And, oh, yeah, I remember it.
And some, I was watching it in a bar in Canterbury, and some Packers fans were out in the garden burning Brett Favre jerseys. And I pointed to them and I said, I want to be everything that's not that. And that day I became a Vikings fan.
I didn't think I could love you more, John, but yep, it just happened. So well done. Thanks.
Yeah, no, yeah. As I say, I've been a big fan of the pod for since. I distinctly remember it was episode 49, so God knows how long ago that was.
We've been through about 500 different people on the podcast, and me, and occasionally Duncan, so since then. So, yeah, that's pretty good going. So, yeah, very much appreciate it. So how did you get involved with the UK Vikings then?
I started the UK Vikings fan club over here.
I said get involved, starting it, sorry, yeah. My bad. Yeah.
It's one way to get involved.
Get involved is by starting it, yeah.
I remember sitting watching the Vikings Steelers game over in London many moons ago and just feeling there was a disconnect. You didn't really have people to talk to. There was no connection with Vikings fans. So I got chatting to a few people and decided to start it up. And over the years, it's just grown exponentially. And often I talk 3 or 4 times to the Vikings front office. I've got good friends over there now. So, yeah. I've got Vikings front office staff on WhatsApp and everything like that.
That's amazing,
now it's just
that's incredible. Yeah, and you do your own podcast as well?
Yeah, we do our own weekly podcast. Well, during the season it's weekly, but
I understand
during the off season it's occasionally, because you know off season can be a bit here and there, can't it, with news and everything like that.
It can be, like, so luckily, like, I mean, there is no such thing as an NFL off-season, but it is very different, the things you cover. So, like, obviously, we're lucky we got people to kind of cover the draft, and that's mainly what people are talking about at the moment. And I kind of let them do their own thing, and I said I'd interject, and I've not done that so far. So, they're doing a great job. I'm just leaving them to it. But, so I understand that sometimes it can be a bit like, there's only so many times you can talk about who the Vikings are going to draft, or like who they're going to pick up in free agency, what scheme they're going to run under potential new coaches, that kind of thing. So I totally understand that. We get through it by doing pointless top 10 lists and team reviews. So, you know, that's how we'll do it. But yes. So then, I mean, John, there's just so much. So the Purple Pedal campaign, do you want to tell people about that as well?
Yeah, it all started as a joke on the podcast, because there was rumours started to swirl that the Vikings might be playing over. I was like, no, we've just played over it. We just played it over it last year. We're not going to be playing over here again. So I was like, if we do play over in Dublin, I'll cycle from Wembley to Dublin, because that was the last place that we played the Steelers. And I was like, you know what? And then we ended up playing back-to-back games, so I was like, well, we'll cycle between the two venues then.
And that's amazing. That is incredible.
We've raised about £5,000 in donations. I had great support, and the Vikings were brilliant at supporting me. And yeah, it was a lovely cycle ride. It was apart from Storm Amy hitting on the last day. It was, the last 2 days were the last heading into London was I was going pretty much sideways on the London bridges, because that was when the wind really picked up. Yeah,
it's terrifying, man. I've been in a car where the wind's blown me like across a lane on a motorway at like 1 o'clock in the morning, and that was terrifying. So I can't imagine what that was like on a bike. But yeah, that's amazing. But,
no, it was going across North Wales and cycling through that country. Was beautiful country.
That's incredible. How many miles is that then?
It was about 450 miles, 600k. Just over 600k, yeah. I don't know, over 6 days, I think. Yeah, 6 days, yeah.
That's amazing, man. Are you a keen cyclist before then, or was this like...
Not really, but I became a very keen cyclist doing about 100k every weekend after I said I'd do it, getting in training very quickly.
Do you still cycle?
Yeah, I still cycle, yeah, now. But yeah.
That's amazing, man. It's worth noting, John has one of the best beards in, like, the whole NFL UK scene. If Will, if you happen to be listening to this, yes, I do include you. But, like, I meant Will Gavin, sorry, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you don't have a
That's
beard.
That's confusing when you've got the same name.
Where was I going to go with this? So, how did you get involved with becoming, like, the International Vikings Fan of the Year?
Well, the award's been going for about 3 years. Every year, you have to... The thing is, you can't nominate other people. Mm. Every year, the form doesn't suit if you're nominating other people. So this year, I thought... The last couple of years, I have nominated... I've twisted the form where I can nominate other people in the UK. But this year, I thought... I put myself forward, not for myself, but to get the club's group name out there. And I thought... With the cycle ride and us putting on events in Dublin and London, I thought there's no better chance of me putting a good spin on it than that, really.
Yeah, yeah, fair play, man. Yeah. And it's thoroughly deserved, dude. You know?
Like, yeah, I mean, it's just, I pinch myself every now and then. They're flying me out to, I'm going out to the draft and being flying out to the draft, getting a distinct, International Fan of the Year jersey given to me by Roger Goodell. I'm going to be doing a draft pick for the Vikings. It's just mind-boggling.
What pick? Do you know what pick it is?
No, I don't know what pick. It's going to be about... We think it's normally about a day three pick, so...
Okay,
It's going to be a punter or someone like that.
It's still super cool, though.
That's amazing, like dude.
Bucket list thing to do that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's absolutely incredible. We'll be watching anyway, because we watch, like, all of it. So, like, we'll make sure we're cheering on as you make your pick as well. So that's incredible. Do you have to dress, like, in a particular way for that? Like,
it's going to have to... I've been told I've got to wear the International Fan of the Year jersey the entire weekend. So, yeah, they give you a badge and... I mean, it's only been going around 3 years, so I'm only the third ever International Fan of the Year for the Vikings, and the first ever one who's not Canadian.
Does that count? Like, I mean,
I know. I'm just like, yeah.
Okay, so the Vikings then. How are we feeling about the Vikings? Kyler Murray's come in. JJ McCarthy's kind of still there. They're not quite given up on him, but they're not giving up on him. How are you feeling about it?
I think it's becoming quite clear that KOC isn't JJ's biggest fan. Mm. You've got to remember how young JJ is as well. He's still one of the youngest QBs in the draft, but we were just desperate that year to draft a quarterback, and he was pretty much what was left in that first round. With Kyler, well, KOC's worked miracles with quarterbacks before. It's just the division is so hard.
Oh, I've noticed that.
The thing is, I've noticed about the division throughout the years, it's so hard, but you always get a number one or two seed out of it, but they always get knocked out in the the first round of the playoffs, no matter who they are, because it's such a hard division. They spend so long getting and putting so much effort getting out of that division.
I think what's crazy about the NFC North, and I say this as someone who supports a team that is regularly at the bottom of it, I think what's crazy, it is really hard to predict who's going to be top and who's going to be bottom. At the moment, probably over the last 5-6 years anyway, I think in previous years it was pretty much Detroit and then the other three battling it out. But obviously Detroit have got a lot better since then. And then the Bears have been pretty poor for the last 5-6 years and then obviously got a lot better this year as well. And the Packers are always kind of there and the Vikings are always kind of there. And it's like, it is really hard to predict exactly what's going to happen in the NFC North. And I think that A, makes it exciting for everyone watching it outside of the North and terrifying for everyone. I don't look at a game in the North and think, oh, cool, we're playing them. I always look at every game and I'm like, oh, God, that's terrifying. I hate it all. So, like, yeah, I totally understand. You're right, KOC's worked wonders with, obviously, Sam Darnold. I think the Sam Darnold Reclamation Project is several teams building his confidence back up to becoming now, obviously, a Super Bowl winner. And Kyler Murray, I think, definitely is that kind of person that you could do that with. Like, we even saw Carson Wentz, what might not have been his greatest season last year, but there were flashes that it could work. And I know they've brought him back, haven't they? So, but I think Kyler Murray, I think you can get him on next to nothing contract. Why wouldn't you do it? Why wouldn't you at least give it a go? Absolutely makes sense. You reckon, Will?
It's, to be fair to JJ, he has such a small sample size of NFL football. It's difficult to know, because it was essentially his rookie season after being knocked out his entire proper rookie season. It's difficult to know if he is the next Josh Rosen or if he's, you know, got dealt a bad hand.
Yeah.
So he didn't play well. It's got to be said. He did not play well in his 10 games that he did play. So I can understand from a coach who's just had the GM fired from under him. He's been there a while and there has not been the kind of playoff success you'd expect with some of the talent that they've got on that team. Yeah. So I understand it from the coach's point of view that he wants to get in someone a bit more proven over, because he can't risk another year of JJ development if he wants to stay in his job.
No.
So I understand it completely. I think Kyler Murray's a good quarterback in that middle tier, middle class. And they're trying to do the same thing that, well, both Seattle and Tampa Bay have done. I think it'll work for them. But it does mean that they did waste an awful lot of draft capital on JJ McCarthy if he doesn't pan out for them.
Happens, though. Like, obviously, the Niners did the same with
Trey Lance.
Thank you. Yeah, Trey Lance. So, like, you got to take a risk, I suppose, every now and then. And they needed a quarterback, and he was there. I quite like it because I think what they've kind of doing is taking the pressure off a little bit. The 9 stuff didn't help him as well last year. I feel a bit bad for him on that front because every quarterback's done something like that. Justin Fields coming out after his first preseason game saying it was easier than he thought. I mean, it's not really worked out well, has it, Justin? So, you know, it probably wasn't easier than you thought. So I think quarterbacks just like come out and say stupid things every now and then, and then that kind of sticks with them. But I think this kind of takes the pressure off a bit. You've got like another first round quarterback ahead to kind of jump in. And if it doesn't work, then JJ McCarthy, you would hope, is like learning the ropes in the background. How do you think it's going to go this? I mean, obviously we're pre-draft. We don't actually know what the team's going to look like, but so far, are you happy with what they've done? They haven't made a whole load of moves, but they've made some moves.
I still think, I said it last year and I'll say it again this year, our biggest move was keeping Brian Flores.
Yeah.
We've basically got 100%. A head coach. We've got a head coach for offense and we've got a head coach for defense. They're two ridiculously experienced coaches, and KOC just lets Brian do whatever he wants on defense. You do that, I do me. We meet in the middle. We're not going to interfere with each other. And yeah, I mean, it's what he's done with some of the defenses he's been given. He's turned them into top defenses with bit parts. But yeah, he's now beginning to get some of his draft picks that he's picked up over the years, like Dallas Turner. I'm looking forward to seeing him him turn up this year, because he began to look promising last year.
Yeah, absolutely makes sense. Brian Flores, I am only assuming he goes into interviews and punches the GM, because I have no idea how he's not getting a job. No, I know he's got
really,
he's got
a... really Dan. Yeah. He's suing the league.
I know, but still, he's so good. Like, surely, like, someone would give him a chance. Like, he's still, I think it says a lot that he is suing the league, but he's still a defensive coordinator in the NFL. But, like, someone, surely, you would imagine, probably would have given him a chance. But it doesn't appear that that's ever going to happen. So, like, I mean, it works out great for the Vikings, because he's seemed to be quite comfortable there, and he gets progressively better every year. So, no Harrison Smith this year, though. Like, he retired last year.
He's not officially announced it yet.
Oh, really?
He's not officially announced it yet. No, no.
Okay.
Phelan and CJ Ham both done a joint retirement press conference.
Yeah.
Last week, but no, Harrison has not officially retired yet. So he could be coming back. We've given him a June 1st release.
Yeah.
Just to help out with the budget and everything like that, the cap and everything like that. But he's not officially retired yet. But
a little bit of news on someone that might unretire in a second. It's nonsense news, but we're going to talk about it anyway in a bit. But so we're talking team needs. What would you say the Vikings' biggest need is?
The secondary. Desperately is what we need is secondary. I mean, I've read a lot of mock drafts, and there tend to be two consistent things on the mock draft, and that's the quarterback going first overall. His name's just escaped my mind.
Don't worry, you're in the right, you're in the correct crowd for that.
I've watched Mendoza. It all last year as well.
Yeah. Fernando Mendoza.
Mendoza.
Yeah.
And Dylan Fiennesman going to the Vikings. Those two seemed, whatever mock draft I see, it just seems to be those two in those solid positions. But yeah, I've watched a lot of Fiennesman. But yeah, any type of secondary help. Maybe beef up the O-line, which... It's on paper, it's really good. Unfortunately, last year, we didn't have it playing together that much. That was our distinct weakness. I think we only had the first five playing together like one game, and it was barely even an entire game, I don't think, the entire season. And when you've got a so-called rookie quarterback playing back there, you need consistency like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it made a world of difference second year for Caleb with the Bears. Totally made sense. So, like, I agree. O-line, like, without looking at the roster, O-line was where I was like, I think that's probably where they need help. And then you look at it and it's like, well, it looks all right. But, like, as you say, they just didn't play really well, that well together. Or didn't play together that often last year. So
I think, definitely more the latter. Because I'm still a really big fan of Will Fries.
Yeah.
I think Christian Darrisaw is like top five tackle.
Yeah.
So it's not going to take them a lot. I think, I can't remember the rookie's name, the rookie guard.
Jackson.
I think he's got a lot of upside, so I don't think it's going to take a lot to shore that up. I think if you can get a decent interior guy in the second round or a center, then I think that's that entire position. Touch wood, if they're healthy, shored up, and then the offense should be humming.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And it looks like a lot of the defensive players that were rumoured to be leaving are coming back as well. So, like, what, Grenard and Van Ginkel were both rumoured, I think, at one point to be exiting in one way or another. And they're both kind of there, which is good. I think they're both two of the top players at their positions, if I'm honest with you, and work really, really well with what Brian Flores asked them to do. So, personal area of weakness, I think Aaron Jones isn't a number one running back anymore. I like Aaron Jones quite a lot as a player. I think he's a fantastic player. Obviously, a really nice guy as well. But I think that what you're probably looking at is, if you can find a running back, you're going to have to go early for a running back this year from everything I've been reading, it's slim pickings. So it might be worth like raiding another team to see if like a second, third running back might come for you to the Vikings for like a fourth or fifth round pick or something like that.
I mean, we still have Mason on the books, so
he's good. I like Jordan Mason.
Yeah, I don't think we used him quite as much as we should have last year, but yeah. As Jones, I think he's signed on a low contract. It's not really much, but running backs were really scarce. I mean, after the combine and everyone saw Love, everyone started signing up running backs. Like all the NFL teams started signing up running backs because they were like, "Well, he's not falling to us, so we've got to sign something up here."
And there's not much below Love either this year in the draft.
There's nothing really at all.
Yeah, totally agree. TJ Hockenson, how are you feeling about him?
He's not. I was surprised we didn't. He's still there. Obviously, with the contract, he's not been providing as much. He was still getting over the injury from the previous season, but he's not producing as much as I would like. I mean, Oliver's doing quite well. But that's another position maybe I might look at. But with TJ, Oliver, I can't think of our third tight end right now. But I can't see us taking a punt on a tight end. Maybe in the later rounds we might take something. But I see us taking a wide receiver as well because I can't see Addison sticking around in Minnesota for much longer.
Oh, really?
With his off-field antics.
There is that.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Plus, he put an Instagram post up of him in a Bears jersey, which can't have gone down well with the Vikings fans. So,
he'll be wanting to get paid, and when you've got someone like Justin Jefferson on your team, you can't really afford to be paying top dollar to work. I know the Bengals can do it, but we pay our defensive players.
That's absolutely very true. So if you're all right, then we're going to discuss some other teams as well. But quick, some news. It's not really news. The things I've been reading about, it's all nonsense. Tom Brady, apparently in an interview, said he'd considered unretiring. And I think what happened was he played a flag football game against one of the Paul brothers and decided that he can now play in the NFL again. I kind of hope it doesn't happen. He's got a legacy that I think... I personally would quite like to see him preserve that, but then that's up to him as well. But that's literally all I've got. I've not been paying much attention to the news in recent days, so I might have missed something. But I've mostly been focusing on the draft now, trying to play catch up. So, okay, team needs. Will, have you got any teams that you think that are glaringly obvious needs?
Well, it's less of a team need and more of a trend. And to be on brand, it's offensive line, an interior offensive line at that. There are so many teams in this draft that need help on the interior of their offensive line. And I don't think there's the supply there. Well, at least not at the top of the draft. That's not to say that there are no players. There are some good prospects on the interior, but so many teams need them, like Titans, Giants, Browns, Commanders, Saints, Chiefs, Bengals. I'm just reading down the list of draft picks, but they all need offensive line help.
Yeah. An interior offensive line does seem to be an issue this year.
Yeah. So that's going to be interesting just to see. Does that mean that interior offensive linemen get pushed up the draft board? People that you'd expect to be gone in the second round, do they get pushed into the late first? Do people move around their picks to try and acquire these interior players?
Yeah,
it's mad. It's mad how many teams need guards and centers.
Wouldn't it be crazy if the Baltimore Ravens, for example, they were really good on defense this year, and then all of a sudden Lamar Jackson's just getting absolutely harangued up the middle because they got rid of Tyler Linderbaum?
To be fair, they shouldn't have paid him what the Raiders are paying him. That is crazy money.
That's insane money. Yeah, but then I think that says a lot. He's not that good. Yeah. censored class this year. When Drew Dorman retired, I was like, oh my God, no, really, really bad year to do that. And quickly getting Garrett Bradbury and feeling good about Garrett Bradbury. No offense, obviously, ex-Vikings Garrett Bradbury. I was like, okay, it's okay, it'll do. But it does seem to be, seems to be a bit of a problem. Interior offensive line. And I don't think it helps when you're listening to like nearly every draft pod and they're like, get your tackle sorted, interior offensive line's really easy. And it's like, I don't think it is. I think teams are really struggling this year. But yeah. No, go on, Will. What did you say?
I was going to say, especially with the kind of interior arms race, and we've seen just, players on the interior become more, and on defense that is, become more and more important to schemes, and interior pressure becoming more and more important.
Yeah.
With the arms race, you've got to keep up. Otherwise, dead quarterbacks.
Yeah. All of the best draft prospects on the defensive line this year, or edge rushers, can all rush from the inside as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I think is a massive part of like how teams are functioning now as well. You look at what the Seahawks do. The problem with facing the Seahawks is you have no idea who's lining up anywhere. And like, you're going to see teams wanting to like emulate that. So, do you reckon, John?
I mean, I think you guys have absolutely nailed it. Let's say the lines are where the big difference is. You've got a lot of good prospects on the defensive line in the draft, and opposite end on with the offensive line. So,
yeah,
teams have noticed that and have been signing up or re-signing their offensive linemen very quickly. And I think that's the first time in a long time that I've seen teams make these big moves. Be like we need to do that, because there's, everyone knows this draft class isn't the best. Not across the board. It's not the one that teams are really looking at to shore up a lot of stuff. I mean, everyone's already looking towards next year's draft class, because they're a lot stronger in a lot better positions.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, it's the everything I hear about this draft is it's a draft for good players, not great players. So like, if you've already got a couple of great players in there, then this is going to be good, and you can probably trade down. And teams that have got like a decent amount of picks, like, who's the team that's got 7 picks in the top 90? Who am I thinking? Was it the Raiders? Did they have 7? It was the Dolphins. There you go. Yeah, because they traded away their entire team to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, they need to do that, because that's the only way they can put a team together with how much they're still paying half their team that are no longer on the roster. So it's, they're going to be putting together teams on the cheap, because that's the only way they can do it, and the only way they can do that is the draft. So like, I look at teams as well, on carrying on with the offensive line issues. A team that, like the Lions, who 2 years ago had like one of the best offensive lines in the league, it's gradually like falling apart a little bit. And you've got Cade Mays at center now, which was a position of strength a couple of years ago. Christian Mahogany's pretty good. Tate Ratledge is pretty good. Larry Borum at right tackle, though, is insane to me. That was a guy that was like third string on the Chicago Bears at one point. And like, he is now on the opposite end of Penei Sewell, so, who's like one of the best in the game. So yeah, offensive line, I think, is a general issue. Going back on what we said, unless anyone's got anything to add, sorry. Running backs in general, teams understanding they need 2 or 3 running backs to function as a team is going to be an issue, I think, this year, when there are not enough running backs to go around. Jordan Mason, as you were saying, I think probably will get the lion's share with the Vikings, but probably wouldn't hurt to pick someone else up. I mean, you look at what the Lions themselves are doing. Isaiah Pacheco coming in, replacing David Montgomery. Just looking at what David Montgomery himself got, just as a running back nearing 30, is insane. He got like a fourth-round pick, or equivalent of a fourth-round pick. So I think you look at teams' needs at running back, and it does seem to be an issue. And I think the draft is not going to be kind to them. I'm now trying to frantically find examples of this. I went to the Buffalo Bills. That was a poor choice. But
well, they have a draft need, but I don't think they'll find it.
Okay, we'll get to that in a second. but I think it's one of those things that, like, teams are picking players that they can absolutely get in now rather than waiting for the draft. I think sometimes teams will wait to see how the draft falls, but it appears that they're trying to get their team sorted and then they're just going to go for whoever is available in the draft that can improve their roster in general. So, yeah. Any other needs? We can do team needs, we can do position needs. Happy to talk about anything. Any teams, anything glaring?
What are the Kansas City Chiefs doing for a defensive backfield these days?
Okay, I haven't looked, so let's have a look.
You will recognize zero people as they all now play for the Rams.
I forgot that the Rams came in and took two of their cornerbacks. That is true. Those moves, by the way, actually make me think the Rams might be the best team in the league this year.
I think going into the draft, that is correct.
Yeah, going into a fair point. Yeah, Christian Fulton's a name I recognise.
Right, Christian Fulton.
He's not good, but he is, however, the only name I recognise on this. It's not good, is it?
No, they need to do some work, I think.
Yeah. That's very concerning. I'd not been paying attention. I was too busy looking at the fact they picked Kenneth Walker.
Yeah, that's great.
That's all right. They're in a not-so-high-powered division, so they'll be fine.
But it's just... The story usually is that you can give Spags pretty much anybody in the defensive backfield and he'll turn it into... They're really, really testing that theory.
Yeah, they're taking the piss a bit now, aren't they? Yeah, that's not... I'm now looking at, like... let's have a look at their roster. I'm on over the cap, because it didn't take me long to get to over the cap before I'm...
Live there.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I mean, they've still got, like, some cap space. Is there anyone available in free agency though? Is Jamal Dean still available?
He got traded to the Steelers.
Is it Steelers?
Not traded. He got picked up by the Steelers in free agency.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I'm looking at now. Tariq Woolen. Sorry. Okay, yeah, no. There's no one. it's slim pickings, so that's not good. So they're going to have to go in the draft then, I suppose. Which has not been their friend in recent years. So, but there we go. Cornerbacks in general are being an issue. Like, I think my team... Like, safeties is an issue, but defensive backs in general, I think, might be problematic, and there might be a scrabble. We might see a few runs of that in the draft. Particularly, like, second round is usually where you see safeties, but we might see some safeties go early, particularly with the quality of safety in this year's draft. So,
yeah, it's one of those drafts where I think there's going to be quite a lot of defensive backs picked, but not particularly highly, I don't think.
Yeah. You said defensive back to the Vikings then, John?
I think it's taking probably Dylan Fiennesman too in the first. Yeah, I mean, no. I was looking at Sonny Styles, but I don't think he's dropping that far now.
It's wishful thinking, I believe. Think about
yeah,
John.
No.
The Raiders will be taking him if he keeps going he's going at the moment. So, yeah.
This was like September-ish time. I was looking at all of this. I mean, that's back when I thought maybe Love might fall that far. And there's absolutely no chance of that now. But
would you like if they could put together a blockbuster trade, to move up for like either like a Caleb Downs or a Sonny Styles or Jeremiah Love, would you do it? Would you want them to do it?
Downs or Styles, I would.
Yeah.
I would say. But then next year's, I wouldn't want them to give away too much for next year's draft, because next year's draft is far superior to this year's draft. We're not going to go out there and win the Super Bowl this year. Breaking news, the Vikings aren't going to win the Super Bowl. We're never going to win the Super Bowl.
I don't mean to be rude, but history isn't on your side, admittedly. No, but, you know, as, you know, gloating as the guy who supports a team that won it once 40 years ago. But, you know, it's... I don't know, though, because I think the Vikings are one of those teams that, you know, when teams say they're a quarterback away, the Vikings very well might have been a quarterback away. So, like, it's possible that I think that with high-powered offense that I think you can kind of paper over a few cracks on defense as well. So,
I mean, so. You'd be foolish to give away a quarterback that had a 14-win season with you, wouldn't you?
Who does that?
I'd have done it, though. I think I'd have done it, because I think I'm stupid, admittedly, because, like, I thought, well, they know what they're doing. They can make, they can turn water into wine with this. So, like, they can absolutely turn J.J. McCarthy into, like, the next big quarterback. And it might still happen. I'm going to put that, it might still happen. The sample size is really small.
There are parts. He plays... He's dependent on quarter to quarter. Very much a quarter to quarter quarterback, JJ, but yeah.
Yeah, first game against the Bears, he absolutely took him to pieces in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So yeah, so absolutely makes sense. Okay, yeah, I haven't seen the Kansas City Chiefs cornerbacks. That is very, very concerning. I'm going to bring up my own team, edge rusher. Like, is a massive need. Luckily, it's a draft full of edge rushers this year, which is... encouraging, but Odeyingbo, he's been saying that he is highly motivated and has become a meme. I don't know whether any of you have seen this or whether it's just Bears media that kind of playing on this, that like there's a lot of like, well, if he's highly motivated, maybe we could trade him for trying to think of some examples now, trading for Patrick Mahomes and stuff like that. But hear us out, Raiders. Maybe you don't need a first-round pick. Maybe you just need a highly voted, highly motivated Dayo Odeyingbo, who didn't have the best season last year. So I feel like he's been thrown under the bus a little bit. But Montez Sweat wasn't that great. Austin Booker is a great rotational piece. Just need to bring in another edge rusher at least, and a safety as well. So we completely changed our safety room. Kevin Byard. How good were the Bears' defense this year? They let them all walk for next to no money at all. And they could have signed them all if they wanted them to, but they decided not to. So Bears have brought in now Kobe Bryant, Cam Lewis as safeties, which I think is actually a pretty decent move. But it's just not very deep. So defensive backs again for the Bears. Edge rusher and maybe some interior pressure as well. Defensive overhaul this year, I think, in the draft. Once again, I don't think that team's going to win the Super Bowl either. And Jack Sanborn's back as well. That's always nice. I like to see Jack Sanborn back. But
those positions that you're saying you need are positions of pretty high strength in this year's draft. To be honest, the draft board seems to be falling your way that way.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So watch this draft to kick around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hopefully it will, but I'm not used to that happening more than 1 year in a row. So, anything else we want to talk about? Like team needs, glaringly obvious ones.
Yeah. San Francisco 49ers need interior defensive line.
Oh my God. I literally just clicked on San Francisco 49ers and was like, I'm going to talk about the Niners, but yeah, absolutely. They do. They've kind of like, invested quite heavily on the outside, but the inside is Adigazoo is quite a good pickup, but it's not. They don't appear to have the like rotational depth, do they?
this don't seem to have much juice there, really. Yeah. I mean, once Bosa went down last season, the entire defensive line was just out of sorts, yeah. If we're going to be charitable. I think, but I don't think it's going to take a lot for them to be really good. I just think they need to shore that position up and make sure Fred Warner doesn't get hurt. And then they're going to be cooking with gas again.
Dre Greenlaw back as well.
Oh, yeah, good. Problem solved.
Well, he wasn't great for the Broncos last year, but he was injured a lot of the time. But he does seem to thrive, particularly on the Niners. So, I agree. Yeah, interior defensive line. Also, has Trent Williams definitely coming back on offensive line?
No.
He said he wanted a trade, didn't he? And he's the kind of guy that's previously said he wants to trade. And then when he hasn't got it, he's gone, cool, I'm having a year off. So be interesting to see how that goes, because they really, really do need him for that whole thing to work as well. So
yeah. I don't know what's going on with Trent Williams.
So what do you think, John? Do the Niners going to be any good this year? Oh, I think you're muted,
there,
sir.
There we go. Sorry. Yeah, it's a hard division. I say it's a hard division, but it's got the Cardinals in it as well. So
yeah, guaranteed third.
Yeah. As I say, they do. It's very much like the North, where they just beat each other up so much in that division. But they do need to shore up that line, and they did rely on Christian a lot last year.
Yeah,
is he gonna have a lot of wear and tear out there now?
Yeah,
and then they've got Evans, or God knows why he's gone to the most injured team in the league. To get even more injured, one of the most injured players in the league goes to one of the most injured teams in the league.
Well, you know, that electromagnetic pulse is going to get him, I'm sure. So
the more you read up about it, the more it actually makes sense. am I going mad here, or does that actually make? It's mad.
I need to speak to Simon about it. I realized I haven't spoken to Simon about this yet, so I need to. Simon, if you happen to be listening to this, I'm going to have a conversation with you about electrical hubs or whatever it is that's near the Niners training facility that's taken out half their team, apparently. Great cover for, like, having an inept, strength and conditioning group, isn't it? So
I mean, maybe Met Field is built on one.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would make a lot of sense. Yeah, it feels like Niners fans always have to blame something. And bless them, I understand why, because their team gets horrendously injured like every season. But yeah.
But have you seen that with the NFL announcing about the Australian game, and they're moving the opening game of the NFL season to the Wednesday now?
Oh, is that? I didn't see that. I knew that the Australian game looks like it's going to be another belter. But yeah.
Yeah, it's opening weekend on Thursday. And so they're moving the Seahawks to the Wednesday night, and it's going to be Friday night in Australia, Friday morning in Australia, Thursday night in America.
That's pretty amazing.
So, yeah, so it's pretty much two days straight of NFL football start the season.
Because they do the Brazilian game as well, don't they?
No, that's they say that's going to be week three. That's not been officially announced yet, but yeah. that's normally the Friday opening weekend, isn't it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That would be quality though, those three games back to back. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be a great weekend. But then I suppose they just don't want to interfere with college as well, so that kind of always makes sense. But yeah, I think it's the playing game in Australia is definitely the boldest thing they've considered so far. So. I'm looking forward to it. I hope it does work out, because I think ultimately, like, the more NFL games across the world we get, the kind of the better. So yeah. But great. Hopefully, but yeah. Any more glaring team needs? Like, I mean, there's some obvious ones. The Arizona Cardinals need a team.
There were a few teams like that, though.
Yeah.
Like the Jets and the Dolphins.
Dolphins need a team. They can't afford a team. Dolphins,
because they're still paying their old team.
Exactly. Dolphins, by the way, they're my new New Orleans Saints. Like, congratulations, Saints. You've done well. You're doing everything correct. This is nice. How are you doing this? Sorry, Will. I know you don't like to hear this. But but the Miami Dolphins, like, they're a good few years away from having this sorted. But it's all right. They've got a couple of years to bring in some more Green Bay Packers, throw out castaways to not do anything in the AFC East now. So that'll be nice. There was something for the Falcons as well, because you know I love hating on the Falcons.
I love that you've become a Falcons hater. It's like the best thing that's happened over the last year.
They annoyed me so much last year because there was the fact that they could have made the playoffs, Will. How could that team make the playoffs? That's not fair. That's not right. I mean, it's actually all right now looking at it, thinking about that. The roster's all right, except for they've got two B Robinsons on in running back.
I was going to say, didn't they sign the other B Robinson just to confuse all fantasy football players?
Oh, I guarantee I will make that mistake. I'll be like, oh, fourth round? Unbelievable. How's that happened? Yeah.
Hilariously, I think they're going to need a pass rusher.
That was why I wanted to bring them up. That was it, yes. I think they're going to need a pass rusher as well, because they didn't invest enough in it last year. Two first-round picks.
They did, but then the pass rusher decided to crash his Lamborghini into a police car.
Yeah, not the smartest move. That was one of those ones that it just got worse every time you read about it, yeah. It wasn't good. Yes, they probably will need a pass rusher after drafting two in the first round and giving up a first-round pick to do so last year. So. You can at least try and hide it, Will.
I can't help myself. I'm sorry.
Oh, Falcons. NFL's punchline. But it's... Other than that, right, and there's a lot of ifs coming here, so... If Tua can do something...
Okay.
They might be all right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I prefer them with, what's his face? Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, I was just about to say, Kevin Stefanski has got a lot more out of worse quarterbacks than Tua before.
He does seem to hate himself, though, doesn't he? He does seem to put himself on teams where the quarterback situation is just an absolute nightmare.
To be honest, the quarterback situation wasn't a nightmare when he came to the Browns to start with. It still had
Baker.
Yeah. Still had Baker, and I think those decisions weren't his to make.
Yeah, you're right. That took a lot of hard work to make it as bad as as it got. So congratulations, guys. Do you see Mel Kiper said they were talking about Ty Simpson going to the Browns? And Mel Kiper says they've already got a quarterback that's better than him in Shedeur Sanders. Ugh. Does he watch the games? in any way, shape, or form? You might meet him while you're out there, John.
Yeah.
What, Shedeur Sanders? I don't think so.
No, I doubt that, yeah.
No, they have put us up in the proper NFL hotel with all the staff and media and everyone like that. So Eisen and everyone else is going to be in the same hotel as us.
Nice. So.
If you can get a picture with Mel Kiper, that's draft legend right there. I think that's, I'm sure he'll appreciate. You won't see him during the day because he's hanging upside down in the basement of the hotel. You'll see him at night. He'll be fine. He'll be out there. But yeah. Right. Any more before we wrap this up?
Some not very serious ones. Okay. The Bills need a new GM. I know you.
We need a GM. We don't have one. We don't need a new one. We need a GM.
Fair enough. know you're a big fan of DJ Moore, Dan, but I think that they paid way, gave up way too much to acquire.
Do you know what? Another... I'm such a big fan of DJ Moore. I'm really happy for him that he got the deal that he did. That's how that struck. I was like, I was sad to see him go, but I was like, oh, but you know, fair play, man. And also, thanks for the second round pick.
Yeah.
And crazy.
They needed another player that is exactly the same as all the other receivers that they've got on their roster. So
he's better.
Great move. He's better, but he's the same. He's the same, but yeah. Better. Tampa Bay Buccaneers need a new head coach.
You sure about that one, Will? I've never heard you talk about that. It is kind of a miracle he's still there.
Yes. And while I'm blaming him for Mike Evans' departure, as Mike Evans wants to win things and clearly doesn't think that the Bucs are going to win anything this year.
It does kind of say that. That's the kind of message it sends, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is sad, because they could. They've still got a good roster.
Well, the Bucs do.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree that this will have a good roster, but I don't think this coaching staff is going to get anywhere near as much out of the roster as they need to. What else was I going to say? And the Jets need to discover what youth is. They're obviously, they just seem to get older and older with every single free agency move they made.
Can we talk about the free agency move of the entire period, which is the Jets bringing back Geno Smith? Which is...
Jets. That's very Jetsy.
It's very Jets.
It's unreal. We found this guy. He's pretty good. He's played really well on... Oh, I'm not going to scroll that low. I'm not going to read that essay. Anyway, yeah, bring him in. He's going to be great. It's fine, but I like the fact they characteristically waited till he had a really bad season, yeah, and then brought him in. So poor Breece Hall. That's all I'll say. Poor Breece Hall. But yeah,
free Breece Hall.
Free Breece Hall. And I'm sorry, Josh. I don't mean to shit on your team, but they do better when I shit on them, rather than I'm quietly confident about them. So yeah, you're right. They are unnecessarily old for a team that seems to have a million draft picks every year as well.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's about it.
I'm done being the dick.
Yeah. Any more, John? You have anything that can spring to mind?
No, I can't think of anything else. We've not covered.
The Rams need to calm down. That's what they need to do. it's not fair. I'm a bit concerned.
I mean, they've still got a first round pick. I mean, what are they going to do with that?
Well, get a nosebleed.
Give it time. By the time this pod comes out, they'll have got rid of it.
Yeah.
Nosebleed. Yeah. But thanks, Atlanta, for that one. It's crazy. The whole thing's crazy. I don't really want to talk. There was some actual news. I don't really want to talk about Cam Scatterbaugh being an idiot and Puka Nacua also being an idiot. So these things happen. They are being talked about by much more reputable news networks than us, so go read that there. But we're going to talk about the silly stuff, I'm afraid. So, but needless to say, I believe they're idiots. So yeah. Right then, if that's it, I think we're going to wrap this up then. There will be a draft pod out hopefully a couple of days after this one, talking about edge rushers. Buckle up. They've already started discussing about how they're going to have to rein it in. Because there are so many edge rushers in this year's draft. So be expecting a 3-hour podcast from Josh, who is frantically trying to get someone else on the pod to stop them from talking continually with James. So I, as far as I'm aware, they didn't manage it. So that's going to be a long pod. Get ready for that one. But it'll be a fun one. They've done an amazing job so far. I'm really proud of them. Speaking of amazing jobs, John, thank you so much for joining us. It has been a long time coming, but it's been an absolute pleasure having you here. And also, John, thank you for actually listening to our podcast. Like, it means the world to me. It means the world to us. And I really, really appreciate all the support and the love for you know, everything we've done, Discord and just the mock drafts and everything, it is really appreciated. And watching you be named the Vikings International Fan of the Year is joyous to all of us, because you absolutely deserve it. You're a wonderful 100%. Person. So thank you so much, John. If people want to listen to your podcast, by the way, where can they find it?
All your podcast catchers. It's a UK and Ireland Minnesota Vikings Fan Club podcast. Not really short and concise, but that's the best we can come up with. But yeah, we do weekly during the season, but probably bi-weekly off season. But yeah, if anyone wants to come on or come over and talk to us, yeah, check out our group or yeah, you can follow us on UK and Ireland Minnesota Vikings fan club all across social media. Yeah,
I've been
welcome
on it myself.
Fans.
Yeah, I felt welcomed. I was scared as a Bears fan as well, I'll be honest. Like I was in enemy territory, and I felt very welcome. So thank you, it's appreciated. Will, thank you as always.
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah. I will be setting up the mock draft this week, or setting up, getting people involved. You in for it, John? Since you will be drafting.
Yeah, I will be in for it. Yeah.
We not big time enough for you now, because you know you're doing the actual drafting.
No. are we doing the 7 rounds? Because that's what I heard.
That's what I'll you were saying. I'll announce your pick. Okay. Not 7 rounds. Let's not spread that one out. So probably a couple of rounds. There will be trades. I will start taking that a bit more seriously and actually start trying to get people involved in it as quickly as possible. We've obviously got the person picking for the Vikings already, so you have to pick a different team if you're a Vikings fan. Come join the Discord. That's what I always say. I forgot about it. If you want to come join the Discord, we are on Blue Sky. We are on Twitter. It's just at Gridiron Gents or at gridirongents.bsky.social. And it's the pinned tweets or whatever the equivalent on Blue Sky is. It's the Discord. And this is where we have 99% of our NFL conversations. So it would be very much appreciated. John here himself is very active on that as well. So thank you very much for listening. And we'll be back with hopefully a more coherent host next time. So thank you very much and goodbye.
See ya.